Hebrews chapter 11. If you have a worksheet, I'll go slow enough for you tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll start. I'm speaking on Noah, the man who did not finish well. And I'll talk about Noah who's dead kid this morning. But this is a man in the Bible. Noah, the man who did not finish well. Hebrews chapter 11. Please look at verse number 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Nobody had ever seen rain. Nobody had ever seen a flood or an ark. Noah was warned of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he could condemn the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By the way, righteousness comes by faith in Jesus. Romans 3 and 4 tells us that. And we know three things with this verse. We know, first of all, Noah's faith. We know his fear. Then we know his family. The Bible said, by faith, Noah, with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah's faith, Noah's fear, Noah's family. Now, on the notes you have, number one, Noah's faith. His faith led to obedience. Does your faith lead you to obedience? You notice in this text, in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, down further in the verses, he obeyed. Faith always leads to obedience, always. The second thing about Noah, we know his fear. His fear. The fear is a respect and reverence for the Lord, a respect and reverence for God. Noah's fear motivated him to believe and obey God. His fear motivated him to believe and obey God. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. Proverbs 3 says, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Then Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes about life under the sun, S-U-N, not the S-O-N. Life under the sun. Solomon finishes the book of Ecclesiastes by saying, this is the whole conclusion. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. So we know Noah's family. All his family were saved. Wow. All his family were saved, everyone. His wife, his three sons and their wives, eight of them went into the ark. They were saved. Is your family saved? Can I remind you tonight, only thing you can take to heaven with you is your family. You can't take your car, your money, or your clothes, or house, nothing but your family. Is your family saved? Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. We've seen how Noah started a while. Well, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis is the first book of the Bible after the introduction. After the list of all the books, you find Genesis chapter 6. And verse number 8 tells us what Noah found. Next word is what? Grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Genesis 6, 8 says that Noah found grace, which is undeserved favor. By the way, this is the first time the word grace is used in the Bible. Grace means undeserved favor. All the way through the Bible, there's grace. I know we talked about this age that we live in since Jesus died and was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven. We call this the age of grace that we live in. All has been grace through in every age. There was grace in the Old Testament, grace in the New Testament. The Bible says, but the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All means all. All means everyone. Grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Noah found grace. Now drop down to verse number 9, some things about Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, imperfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. We know through the three things here, he was a just man, a perfect man. He walked with God. Now on your notes there, but Genesis 6, 9 says that Noah was a just man, which means he was saved, justified, made righteous by his faith in the coming Savior. Next thing, he was perfect. Doesn't mean he was sinless. It means he was blameless. Nobody could say to him, you call yourself a Christian, you do that? You call yourself a Christian, you say that? You call yourself a Christian, you go there? Nobody could say that about him. He's blameless, Perfect means blameless. It means he had a good testimony. Remember, there's another man who lived at the same time Noah did, by the name of Enoch. Enoch had a great testimony. He pleased God. Do you please God? That's a great testimony to give, to have. Then we note that Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. I want you to see how hard that was. Look at the verse number 5, Genesis 6, 5. Noah and God saw that God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. Every imagination of his thoughts were only evil continually. Oh, what wickedness there was in that day. Sounds like our day, doesn't it? Now look at verse number 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sounds like today, right? Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Violence, corruption, moral depravity. What those were the days that Noah lived in, but he walked with God in hell. Those days are just like our days. Remember, Jesus said, in the days of just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. We must be close to Jesus coming. We're saying tonight, by him coming, he's coming soon, friends. Be ready. So Noah was able to walk with God in those wicked, evil days. You and I can do that too. Now, these things all mean that Noah was a forgiven man, that he was a faithful man, and that he was a man of faith, forgiven, faithful, a man of faith and obedience. What a great example for us to be faithful, a person of faith, a person of obedience. Great example for all of us. Now, some verses I want you to see. Looked in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, last verse of the chapter. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Previous verses give the dimensions of the ark, the materials to use. God told Noah how to build the ark, the size, the dimensions. Noah did everything God told him to do. He obeyed God, built it, built the ark just as God told him to build it. Now go to chapter 8, verse number 20. After the flood, Noah's family come out. Verse 20, chapter 8 says, Noah built an altar of the Lord. He built an altar. Then go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse number 20. Noah began to be a husbandman, which means a farmer. He planted a vineyard, a grape arbor, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. He was uncovered within his tent. Oh, no, what you're doing? He started out so well, then he did not finish well. We just read three verses that tell us this on your worksheet. Noah built an ark. Then he built an altar. Then he built an arbor, like a grape arbor. For you, those who don't know how to spell, it's A-R-B-O-U-R, arbor. Like a grape arbor. He built an ark, built an altar. The ark, by the way, was a testimony of his faith. The altar was a testimony of his fellowship with God. The arbor was a testimony of his failure. After he built the arbor, then he got drunk and shamed himself. Now pause there on the worksheet. Just hang on for a few minutes here. We'll come back to that. I want to say some things here. Some people try to excuse Noah. They say, well, he didn't know he would get drunk. He drank fermented grape juice. He should have known. Jesus said in Matthew 22, the days before the flood, people were drinking. Surely Noah saw some people get drunk by what they drank. He shouldn't have known better. There's no excuse for Noah. Don't make excuses for him. Listen to me. There's no excuse for sin. No excuse for sin. None. Hear me tonight. You will never get victory over sin as long as you try to excuse it. You never get victory over sin as long as you try to excuse it. The Bible says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. You want to prosper? Don't cover your sin. You want God's mercy? Confess it and forsake it. See, God does not excuse sin at all. God records sin in the Bible to warn us. That's why he recorded this sad thing about Noah, to warn us. Realize that we all still have an old nature. When you got saved, you got a new nature. Old nature is there fighting against the new nature, the fight. Galatians 5:17 says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Old nature is trying to pull you one way, new nature is trying to pull you the other way. Old nature is still there. It likes to sin. Be careful. Now let me say some other things, important things here tonight. We read that Noah drank of the wine that came from the grapes. He crushed the grapes that had fermented, and Noah got drunk. I say tonight that alcoholic drinks, from our things we know today, alcoholic drinks are drugs. They are considered the same category as heroin, cocaine, or meth, whatever we want to say. They're all drugs. I say tonight there's enough in the Bible about wine and strong drink to tell us we should never, 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 ever drink wine or strong drink or anything else like that. Pastor has told us often that there are some churches who change their constitution or covenant or bylaws to allow their members to drink alcohol. That's wrong. I mean, he told us right, but it's wrong that churches have done that. There are some colleges, Christian colleges, who changed their standards for the teachers and students. I could name a Christian college tonight. You wouldn't recognize it. You have to name it. It's changed its requirements. Allows the faculty and the students to drink alcohol, wine, beer, liquor. They changed that law. They drink it off campus, not on campus. But it's still wrong for them to okay that. It's not okay at all. Now let's look at the Bible, find out what the Bible says. Find Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Here are several verses that may help you. Leviticus chapter 10. Please look in verse number 8. Leviticus is the third book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron and said, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee. Other words, the priest, Old Testament, could not drink wine. Could not drink wine. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9 tell us every believer is a priest to God, for God, a priest for God. We as Baptists believe in the priesthood of believers. So if the Old Testament priest was not allowed to drink wine, neither should we be. They were not allowed to. We should not. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. A couple of verses here that will help us. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse number 1. Which says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Noah was not wise at all. Those who drink are not wise. They think they're smart and wise. I mean, the advertisements on television make some person who looks nice, young, and handsome, but they drink and ill. They're not wise. They're foolish. If you're not wise, you're stupid. Sorry. Chapter 23. Proverbs 23, look down to verse number 29. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Six questions here. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentious? Who wants to fight all the time? Who has babbling? Just wants to talk all the time, endlessly. Who has wounds without cause? How did he get this wound? How did he get this bruise? Who has redness of eyes? Answer is verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed drinks, mixed wine, they drink too much. Now watch verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright, when you see the advertisement on television, the wine or beer in the glass is bubbling, and it's foaming on the top. God says, don't look at that. You know why? Think of this now. Think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Satan came, He got Eve to look at that. When the Bible says when she saw that the fruit was good for food, she took it, ate it. When she saw, when she looked, it trapped her. Now think about Achan. Remember the Pharaoh Achan, one of the soldiers in Joshua's army? When they conquered the city of Jericho, God said, everything in this city belongs to me. God said, all the silver, all the gold, all the nice clothing belongs to me. But Achan took some gold, some silver, some garments for himself. When God exposed him, Achan said, I saw, I coveted, I took it. See, the look trapped him. Now think about David, King David. When his army was away fighting the battle, David stayed at home. One night on the rooftop of his house, looking over the city of Jerusalem, he saw Bathsheba bathing. That look trapped him. Then he commits adultery, kills her husband, covers it for a year. The look trapped him. That's why the Bible says, don't look, you'll be trapped. Now look here in verse 32, Proverbs 23, 32. At last it bites like a serpent, it stinks like an adder. Would you play with a rattlesnake? I don't think so. I wouldn't either. If you brought one here, there'd be a door over there. I don't like snakes. You wouldn't play with a rattlesnake or a copperhead at all. It's just as dangerous to play with one of the lost as it is to try to excuse drinking wine, alcohol, strong drink. Now let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 35, Jeremiah 35. These are verses I said a while ago. There's enough information in the Bible to tell us we should never, never, ever take a drink, never, never, never approve of social drinking. Jeremiah 35. In Jeremiah 35, come down to verse number 5. Jeremiah says, I set before the sons of the house of Rechabites, pots full of wine, cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. Notice verse number 6, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your son forever. What a great father they had. God them to promise, never touch alcohol at all. Some of you need to teach your children never to touch it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's lots more verses in the Bible about this subject. I've picked out some to use for this message. These should help you to see that you should never, never, ever touch it. Never look at that. Never excuse it. Never take a social drink. Did you know that 1 of 10 people take a drink, they're trapped by it. So you should never, you don't say I'm an exception. I could do it and get by. No, you can't. You might be trapped. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, down to verse number 19. Question, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Which is, next word is what? Which is where? In you. See, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're saved, he lives inside you. Your body is his temple. He dwells in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. Your body belongs to the Holy Spirit. It is his temple. It's where he lives. Therefore, it's wrong to shoot drugs in your veins, snort drugs up your nose, pour alcohol down your throat, because your body belongs to God, not to you. Now look in verse number 12, same chapter. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, all things are lawful unto me, they're permissible, but all things are not expedient. Word expedient means not profitable. All things are permissible, but not profitable. Next part of the verse, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. If it's addictive, leave it alone. What it means? Paul said, I won't be captured by anything, become an addict to it. I won't be brought under this power. If you don't think alcohol will bring you under this power, come with me on Tuesday and Thursday when I go to the mission, Good News Mission downtown, to teach about to men who are trying to get off alcohol, off your drugs. They've been snared by them. They're addicts to them. Just a proof that it will trap you. So Paul said, I won't be brought under the power of anything. If it has the power to capture you, make you an addict, leave it alone. Now, verses. The Bible has lots more verses about why we should never condone drinking alcohol, never take a social drink at all. Don't excuse yourself from that. Now, let's go back to the worksheet. Finish up. We've learned that Noah started out so well, but he did not end well. In the middle of the worksheet, there are some stars there. It says, lessons we all should learn. Lessons we all should learn. Lesson number one, this is for everyone here. Lessons we all, every one of us, every boy and girl, every teenager, every adult should learn. Lesson number one, everyone is tempted. The verse in James says, every man is tempted. Every man, woman, boy, girl, teenager is tempted. I'm tempted, you're tempted. Pastor is tempted, the deacons are tempted. Everyone is tempted, everyone faces temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that temptation is common to every man. It means everyone is tempted. Now, lesson number two, everyone can fall and sin. Doesn't matter who you are, friend, you can fall and sin. Everyone can fall and sin. The verse in Corinthians says, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Don't say, I could never do that. I wouldn't do that. Don't say that. You might, because you could fall and sin. Everyone here tonight could fall and sin. That's why we're preaching this message tonight. So far we learned that everyone is tempted. Everyone can fall and sin. Lesson number three, age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. Age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. Let me explain that as we go along here. I repeat that again. Age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. The verse in Peter, 1 Peter 3:8, Tessa 5:8, is a warning to us. It's a warning to us, all of us. It says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for you. He's trying to destroy you if he can. He's your enemy, not your friend. Your adversary, he's trying to devour you. Now, underneath that verse, underneath 1 Peter 5:8, on the worksheet, once you write down four names here, in the first blank, write down Noah, after the comma, write down Moses, after the comma, write down David and Peter. We have Noah, Moses, and David and Peter. You have four names down there. Let me talk about them, because there are examples that age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. Age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. Everyone's tempted. Everyone can fall in sin. Let's take Noah first. First time we meet Noah in Genesis chapter 5, he's 500 years old. I don't want to live that long, lest I live in heaven forever. 500 years on this earth doesn't appeal to me. But first time we meet, Noah is 500 years old. Then the flood came. Then after the flood, Noah built an altar, worshiped God. He had obeyed God, had faith in God. And after about 8 or 10 years, I said about, the Bible does tell us when Noah fell into sin. After all that, his age did not keep him from being tempted, from falling into sin. Let us take the man Moses. You know, Moses was the man God used to deliver Israel from bondage in Egypt. That God called Moses. Moses led the children of Israel through the dry bed of the Red Sea, then through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses is the man who talked face to face with God. Moses is the man who gave Israel the Ten Commandments for God. was that great man while Israel was in the wilderness wandering. One time they were without water. The people complaining, Moses prays. God said, Moses, take your rod, go to the rock. Smite the rock once, I will give water to heaven. That's a type or picture of Jesus being smitten at the cross. The water of salvation flows from him. So there's no second time they were without water. It's recorded in Numbers 20. First time was in Exodus 17. Numbers 20, they were without water. People are complaining. Moses prays. God says, Moses, go to the rock. Speak to it. I will give water again. Moses goes to the rock. He stands before the rock. He looks at the people. He's sick and tired of these people. He says, you bunch of rebels. Do I have to give you water? He takes his rod. Twice his rock. He spoiled the type that God said. Jesus died once for our sins. Just once was enough. All we do is call upon him for salvation. Because Moses spoiled God's type. God said, Moses, you disobeyed me. You cannot go into the promised land. What I'm saying is spiritual maturity is not a guarantee you won't fall or sin. No guarantee. Age in spiritual maturity makes a difference. Now we have the name David, King David, the man whose heart was after God, the man who wrote half the Psalms, at least 73 of the Psalms. David knew God, knew God's work. Yet David fell into sin, tried to cover sin, killed the woman's husband, tried to cover it for a year. Because age and spiritual maturity makes a difference. We are all tempted. Everyone can fall into sin. Then we have the fourth name was Peter, you wrote down. Now Simon Peter, called by Jesus, spends 3.5 years with Jesus, saw all the miracles Jesus did, heard all the messages, all the lessons Jesus taught. Peter shouldn't have known better. Then Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. I could never do that. I wouldn't do that. But he did. Because his spiritual maturity, age and spiritual maturity makes no difference. We're all tempted. We could all fall into sin. Now I've put on the worksheet 4, to keep you from falling. Number 4, to keep you from falling, you must do 5 things. To keep you from falling, letter A, this is the first one, watch and pray. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 26, he told the disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Why watch? Because Satan is out trying to devour us. Pray. Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. That was A, watch and pray. Now B is this, stay in God's word. Stay in God's word. Plus it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Stay in God's word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who delights in God's law. In his law does he meditate both Wednesday and Sunday. That's what it says, right? That's what your Bible says. Mine doesn't. Mine says, meditate in God's word day and night all the time. Stay in God's word to keep you from falling. Stay in God's word. Psalm 119:11, thy word hath hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So stay in God's word. Now, letter C, stay in fellowship with God's people. Stay in fellowship with God's people. The verse in Hebrews tells us, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Some people stay home for whatever reason. Pastor often tells us, the service you miss may be the one you need the most. You heard that, right? You heard that before, haven't you? Sure you have. You just heard it. Just heard it now. So stay in fellowship with God's people. Then letter D, practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. Jesus said, I'm with you to the end of the world. Practice his presence with you. when you leave to go home tonight, you have an unseen passenger in your car, the Lord Jesus. If you recognize he was there, would you say those things to that other driver? Probably not. Would you talk about someone else, gossip about someone else? If you knew Jesus was there when you get home tonight, go into your family room, living room, sit down, turn on the boob tube. If Jesus was there, would you watch the program? Would you watch that movie? Probably not. Practice the presence of God. Would you read the book or magazine if he were there? I walk in my neighborhood, exercise, walk the sidewalks in my neighborhood. When I'm walking, I'm praying out loud. Because I believe the Lord's with me, just like he was walking beside me. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy. The guy walks, he's talking all the time. I'm talking to God because he's with me. I practice his presence. If we practice the presence of the Lord, the lots of things we would not say or do, right? Sure, that's true. So in letter E, do not make it easy to sin. Do not make it easy to sin. The verse in Romans says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make it easy to sin. Some of you make it too easy to sin. You run with the wrong people. You go to the wrong places. You make it too easy to sin. Psalm 1, verse number 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the way of sinners, who sits in the seat of the scornful. All that means this, do not listen to them. Do not linger with them. Do not laugh with them. You become like them. You make it too easy to sin. Now we want to finish well. We don't want to be like Noah, like King Saul. All those men started out so well. They did not finish well. We all want to finish well to do that. Watch and pray, stay in God's word, stay in fellowship with God's people, and practice the presence of God. Don't make it easy to sin. Years ago, William Culberson, president of Moody Bible Institute, used to pray these words, Lord, help me to finish well. The Apostle Paul did in the last book he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Paul finished well. You can finish well too. If you use some of these things I said tonight, you will watch and pray and stay in God's word, stay in the fellowship with God's people. Practice the presence of God. Don't make it easy to sin. Then you can finish well. Like God wants you to finish. You don't have to be like Noah. To start out well, not to finish well. May God help you to finish well. Let's stand together, please.